You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
When I was young, I somehow had the idea it was just the old folks who did the dying. It wasn't long until I found out otherwise.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
On the crowded highway that leads to death, O God, give us direction to life. Let us see your grace and kindness in Jesus Christ. Let us have your forgiveness and life in Jesus Christ. Give us faith to see the light of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. A friend of mine was telling me recently about a trip he made across the George Washington Bridge from the state of New Jersey into the city of New York. 16 lanes of traffic were rushing in both directions. The cab driver grumbled, "This has to be the world's most crowded highway." Other communities, even on other continents, may dispute that assertion. They have their own crowded highways. But there is no highway so crowded as the one I'm going to talk about today. It is the road to death, the world's most crowded highway. Some people don't want to talk about death. The fact is that most people don't want to talk about it. Or they don't want to talk about it until it comes a little closer than it seems right now. Actually, whether you are young or old, it's pretty close right now. It could be just around the corner, a step or a breath away. That's what David said. Not in a psalm this time, but in a friendly conversation he was having with his good friend Jonathan, the son of Saul, the king. Saul was out after David. He had sent messenger after messenger to do David in. He tried it in David's house, and he tried it after David fled from his house. At the moment, David was in Ramah with Samuel the prophet. Three times, messengers came from Saul with instructions to kill the young and attractive David. Each time, the messengers were captivated by the prophecies of Samuel, who was like an evangelist. They became evangelists themselves and started prophesying themselves. At last, Saul himself came down to see what was going on. He began prophesying. At that, somebody made a sarcastic remark that went around and became quite a joke in the kingdom. "Is Saul also among the prophets?" they asked. At this juncture, David, who was hiding out, had a rendezvous with Jonathan, his good friend. He asked, "What have I done? What is my sin? Why does your father seek my life?" Jonathan reassured him and said that his father certainly would not do anything to David without letting him, Jonathan, his own son, know about it. David replied that Saul was too smart to tell Jonathan about his plans, especially since he knew that Jonathan was David's good friend. In order to impress upon Jonathan the gravity of the situation, he said with an oath, "As thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Very often the young are more aware of the reality of death than are their elders. I don't know whether it has always been so, but it certainly is today. A good deal of the gloom of the younger generation comes from a recognition of the reality of death. Things are dying. Institutions are dying. People are dying. It is a very depressing prospect. Anyone who sees it cannot be blamed for becoming despondent, and one can understand those who are in despair. I've been told that some of the most popular classes on college campuses these days are courses and seminars on death and dying. It isn't that death is popular, but there are young people around who want to know what life is all about, and it could just be that death is the most important fact to be taken into consideration when you are talking about life. Not long ago, listeners to a radio station were polled about their primary concern in life. 70% of them listed death as number one. Some of them were older people with problems of health and loneliness. Others were just curious. Still others were young and vibrant, yet insecure about their future. There might have been some who were worried about their past life and what would happen to them if there should be a judgment after death. But they were all concerned about death and wished they knew more about it. The busiest highway in the world is not the one that runs into New York City across the George Washington Bridge. It is the road that runs through your town or through your countryside, wherever you are. You're on that road right now, even though you may not be aware of it, as this sensitive young man David was. You are but a step away from death. King or peasant, wise or ignorant, powerful or insignificant, educated or uneducated, rich or poor, man or woman, boy or girl, you are but a step away from death. I am glad that you are alive and that somebody can talk to you about that crowded highway along which people are edging or speeding, jostling each other, elbowing others out of the way, sometimes trampling on others, thinking they're getting ahead, and every moment one step closer to the moment which is always only a step away. I'm glad that you're alive, breathing, eating, washing dishes, as some people do when they listen to this broadcast, or milking the cows, as a man told me a few weeks ago, driving, seeing, although I get letters all the time from people who aren't able to see, and listening. It's a great thing to talk to you there on the world's most crowded highway to get your attention for a moment about life, real life, not the kind that ends in death, but where death leads only to life. Death is a part of our life, yours and mine. Someone in the world dies every 7 seconds. Before I finish speaking this sentence, someone in the world will have closed out his account in this world to face God's judgment in the next. Death pulls rulers out of their high places, tears families apart, snuffs out the candle of age, and plucks the young blooms from the soil of humanity. Death is a destroyer. Even the Bible looks on it that way. It calls death the last, the ultimate enemy. For you, as it is for me, death is only a step away. Death is not only universal, it is inescapable. Are you going to try to get away from it, as Louis XV of France did, who forbade even the very mention of the word death in his presence? Young David, the one who said to Jonathan, "Death is only a step away," said in his 23rd Psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He must have known something to be able to say that. St. Paul said in the 15th chapter of the first letter to the Corinthians, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The man had come to know something. He had come to know someone. He's the same one whom David knew. He's the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our afflictions and enables us to comfort others with the words with which we ourselves are comforted. He's the God of grace, the one who can punish and instead saves. He's the God who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to be the Savior of the world. That Son died. People always ask, why did Jesus have to die? It's a good question. The answer is that he joined us on the world's most crowded highway. He went the way with us and for us, all the way. He put himself altogether in our place, yours and mine. He died. He really died. There are those who try to explain his death away. He didn't really die. It just looked as if he died. Only part of him died. The other part remained alive. No, the good news of the gospel is that he died, just as we have to die. He died at the hands of all those people on the world's most crowded highway who don't like to talk about death because it scares the life out of them even to talk about it or even to think about it. When we die, we get what we have coming to us. We have earned wages, we have. The wages of sin is death. But that's not the whole story. The wages of sin is death, it is true. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For that he died. And for that he was raised from the dead. The most important word of the whole gospel is resurrection. If you had to pick one word that would tell the whole story of the faith of Christ, it is resurrection. Into this world of the daunted and the damned has come one light, the light of resurrection. It is in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Jesus said before he died, I am the resurrection and the life. He was talking about himself, of course, and how he would rise from the dead. He was also talking about what he would do. He brings about resurrection in the lives of all those who put their faith in him. He provides resurrection for everyone who calls upon his name. Everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, said St. Paul. He could say that only because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the resurrection he himself had experienced in Jesus Christ. James Stewart said in one of his sermons, many in these tense, tumultuous days are trembling for the ark of God. Look at the endemic conflicts between nations, the eruption of violence and cruelty and hatred, the appearance of sinister and new brands of lawlessness and terrorism, the false values of a sick society, the domineering sway of ideologies which make a mock of freedom and true humanity. It's not surprising that many are haunted by the fear that the powers of darkness may ultimately win the battles, paralyzed by their terrible doubt. But listen, what if God has already taken the measure of the evil forces at their very worst and most malignant, has met the challenge precisely at that point, routing the darkness and settling the issue? This is the basic fact of our holy faith, the power that was strong enough to get Jesus out of the grave and thus to have set going the whole Christian movement across the centuries, mighty enough to shatter and confound the hideous demonic alliance of evil, creative enough to smite death with resurrection. This power is in action still. Stewart went on to say, God still reigns and God is in the field when he is most invisible. I believe that. The great God, the incomprehensible God, the eternal God is in control. I see that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's life, both here and there, both now and then. The mighty work of God is going on right now. For as Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of his Father, even so by faith in Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection, we may live today in newness of life. That life is guaranteed by Jesus Christ himself. He said to people who found it hard to believe, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Everyone can understand that. There's nothing difficult about the language. It is difficult to believe. The Spirit of God can bring you, my friend, to believe it. The Spirit of God is talking to you right now, bringing you to believe it. Scientists have said at the moment of man's conception, he has within him the germs that will bring about his ultimate dissolution. That's a completely secular way of looking at things, but it is true. The Bible says that too. There's no cover-up in the Bible. The good word of God also says there is life in the midst of death. There's life to be had right here and now through faith, genuine faith in the Lord of life. There's life with hope, not death without hope. It is a glorious future, not a dead past. It is life, not to be feared, postponed, and avoided. That's death. To be in Jesus Christ is life, as Christ's men used to describe what it's like to know him, to trust him, and to follow him. That's life. When I was young, I somehow had the idea that it was just the old folks who did the dying. It wasn't long until I found out otherwise. There's nothing so tragic as the death of a young person, and it happens all the time. Death is no respecter of persons. That says something to you and to me. We are but a step away from death. We are also, my friends, only a step away from life. It is not a magic formula, but it is true. It is not a magic formula I offer you. It is truth. The truth is in Jesus Christ. I guess that's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. His cross is true. His resurrection is true. It's all true. Get ready for life. Get ready for death, and get ready for life. Don't set your roots too deep in the ground of everyday living. Don't become preoccupied with the things that are seen and that perish. Don't fear the false gods, and don't let them fool you. You're only a step away, and God may call you sooner than you think. He's calling you right now. He calls you to life in the great name of his great Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is for real, and God's call to you is genuine and sincere. He calls you to faith in Jesus Christ and to fellowship in his family. The Lord is alive, and he wants you to come alive in him. Come alive, my friend, in Jesus Christ. You're only a step away. Come alive in Jesus Christ. Even if you've taken many steps away, he's still right there, only a step away. He is Lord. Come alive in him. Whoever you are, wherever you are, Jesus Christ is Lord. Come alive in Jesus Christ. And help to liven that crowded highway with a new light. The light of Jesus Christ. Amen.